white hot with a my kush roll, 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 my kush roll.
Okay, first of all, that's my first single. I'm pulling niggas.
I'm pulling the zim bitches. I'm pulling the zim bitches. I'm pulling. Boom.
Oh my God, we've been featuring Mr. 808.
Listen, that's the collab of the century.
Oh, what was the name of our album?
Oh, Charged.
Something up.
Charged up. Fully charged. Fully charged. Charged to the game.
Charles
and Charged. Yes, Charles and Charged is the sequel.
Oh, hell yeah.
We'll think about it.
Double disc?
Double. We're bringing back double disc mixtapes back.
We need to bring back double disc. Okay, we already know our hip hop topics for this season, but we totally, totally need to talk about double disc.
Double disc albums? I don't know if I can dedicate a whole podcast to that.
No. I'm just saying, like, just bring it up one day. Double disc. Because that diplomatic immunity.
We're going to skip all of that, and we're going to get into this goddamn episode. This is Frank. Man, welcome, everybody, to Speak of Box Seattle Podcast Season number four. Bigger, harder, and larger.
That's not a thing. You keep trying to make that the tagline for this season.
How about harder, faster, stronger? Giving it to you daily, weekly, and nightly.
Brought to you by Pornhub.
Shout out to... No, this is Frank Massett.
And why every time we start recording, it gets hot as shit up in here?
Because the adrenaline's pumping. And this is Frank Massett26, a.k.a. the unknown.
Or Mr. 808. That was like the obvious.
It should have been Mr. 808. That's absolutely true.
And as always, this is your girl, Bangham Smurfette.
And before we get into it, Bangham Smurf, hit him with the shameless plugs.
All right. If you want to hear past or future episodes, you can find those at one of our various platforms, being iTunes, Podomatic, or Stitcher. If you want a one-stop shop for all of that, plus social media accounts and some content from time to time, go ahead and hit up our website, which is speakerbox.com. That is
SPKRBX. Boom.
SPKRBX.com.
It's so good.
Mr. 808.
The human fucking 808 is in the fucking building. And if they want me, if they have any suggestions or topics, they can send to.
If you have something to say, you have a question, comment, episode idea, go ahead and drop us a line at our email address, being speakerboxseattle@gmail.com. That's speakerbox normal spelling seattle@gmail.com.
All right. And as we're doing with season four, I'm sorry, do you have more to say?
No, I'm just saying, like, that little shot of Bacardi.
And you're good to go?
No, I'm lit.
No, you need to, I think you need to do one more shot.
Towards the middle.
No, do it right now. You do it right now. No, because I need it right now. I need it at the beginning, and then we're going to do one in the middle, and then we're going to coast out.
I told you three is my limit,
though. That's what I'm saying. We're going to get two in the middle, or two in the beginning, and then we're going to get one in the middle.
I'll take a little sippy sip.
There we go. You can take a sippy sip while you're contemplating this. This is our new segment on Speaker Box okay. Seattle Podcast, The Fuss, Fucked Up Situation Scenarios with Frank Massachusetts and Bangham Smurfette, where we put you in fucked up scenarios, and the only thing to get you out of it is your higher knowledge of hip-hop. All right.
Wow, that was nice.
That was off the top of the dome, too.
That was nice.
All right, so.
I'm going to be slurring my words this episode.
It's cool. I want you to think about this, all right?
Okay.
All right. So.
Slip is slurred.
You're on top. Knocking them out. You're working at the label. Okay, let me set this up for you, okay. Right? You're working at the label, and everything that you've been dropping is hot fire. Not as an artist, but as an A&R.
Okay.
Right? You have been an A&R, and now you're like, I'm about to get into the fashion world. Some dude's like, hey, I know some people, and they're trying to move some things. They're trying to get a read up, and you're trying to move in this direction. You're like, you know what? I can make artists. I can make fashion. I can do anything.
Okay.
So you're at a meeting, talking shit, like you do.
Right.
There's bagels. There's donuts. A fruit tray.
Is there lox? I need there to be lox.
That's a lot of bread, though. There needs to be a fruit tray, donuts, lox. We could do that. Do you have shrimp at your meetings? No?
No. Okay. We're not classy like that.
All right. And then we'll have some coffee, right?
And mimosas.
And then your arch rival is sitting there eyeballing you. You've been high praise. You've been sitting there stunting on him.
Is this another A&R person?
Yeah, it's another A&R person that you've just been shitting on. Every time he do something, you do it just two times better, and he's looking at you mad as hell.
Okay.
Right? And he's like, he's handing out assignments. And his assignment is, you have to reboot a clothing brand.
Oh.
And he said, and you talking shit, and you're like, I can do it. Give me any brand, I can do it. And he gives you these three options.
Oh, okay. All right.
That you have to reboot.
Okay.
Baby Fat.
Okay.
FUBU.
Okay. Well, I've already rebooted FUBU.
Or Nice with the E. E-N-Y-C. What was that called?
Eniche.
Eniche or Eniche.
Okay. So given the fact that I've actually, fun fact in real life, I've actually already successfully rebooted two brands. One being.
As a brand ambassador.
One being FUBU in my infamous FUBU sweater debacle. That's and, true. And Rockaware. That's true. I actually have something I'm going to post for you.
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
No, it's going
to
be epic. But for this scenario.
What do you feel that you could bring back? To prominence, like this is rocking it.
Okay, so
bitches is rocking
okay,
it.
Okay, so let's see. So we're talking about Baby Fat and Fat Farm.
No. Just Baby Fat. Just the pussycat on the back of the coat with the fur.
Okay,
on the
no, no. There's no bringing that back.
Damn it, man.
No, there's not. There's too many. Plus, remember they had that fucking Rush card.
They really did.
Like, and they stole all those people's money. So that's done, Dada.
Did they steal people's money?
Yeah, it's like there was like a what was that card in Monopoly? Like a bank error in your like, but it wasn't in your favor. Like, it took all of these people's money. And you know.
Oh, the chance cards.
Yeah. So, you know, like, fuck that. That just fucked me all the way up. Chance and community. Whatever. But basically, you know how those cards, like, targeted basically, like, low-income populations?
Right.
Well, these people, like, people were getting evicted. Like, their utilities were getting cut off. And
damn
they
man.
Never reimbursed those people. So, fuck that.
So, no Fat Farm. Okay.
FUBU. Or Eniche. I'm going to have to rock with Eniche.
You think you can bring it back?
I think I could bring back
Eniche.
You think
you can bring back those sweatsuits?
Let me tell you why. Because...
those head to toe powder blue sweatsuits. You feel you can bring
that
back. Was that an Eniche?
I feel like that was South Pole.
That was South Pole. I should have said South Pole. But
no. Then I would have been like, nothing. I'm screwed. Yeah, I'm going to have to rock with Eniche because I feel like there's not as much of a negative connotation with Eniche. Because remember, all those brands crashed and burned.
They really did.
They crashed and fucking
Urban
burned.
Urban Wear, man. Urban Wear was
Urban
the shit.
Why?
And
that's
you feel
a question.
That out of all the Urban Wear, out of those three, you feel you could bring that back
I feel
and
like
it'll
could,
be relevant
because
today.
It wasn't as known in these streets, I feel like.
Okay.
I mean, really, the real MVP is Academics. I could bring back. But if you're just... And then Lady Eniche? Like, nobody even remembers Lady Eniche.
So what you're telling me is that you're going to Tory Lanez the situation.
I'm going to Tory Lanez the situation.
Okay.
Because I feel like Eniche is a decent name. If we just pretend like the first Eniche run never happened...
Then you're golden.
I feel like I could bring it back.
All right. That's fair. Yeah, if you were going to say Baby Fat, I'd be like, you're a goddamn lie. Nobody's bringing that shit
Nobody's
back.
Nobody's bringing back. You Baby Fat back. And Fat Farm, bro.
No, it's done.
It's done. Like, is FUBU done, though? Because I think FUBU's still trying.
I mean, they might, because Solange had that one song, FUBU. And,
yeah.
But nobody's going to bring back their FUBU shirts because of that song.
What was it? What made that crash and burn so bad?
I don't know. You
is
know
it
what?
Just that it
it's
got
when
ridiculous?
They started, yeah, when they started doing jerseys. And you were like, I don't need a FUBU jersey.
I mean, FUBU was
those
05 so
FUBU jerseys? Yeah, no.
Hot for a second.
Yeah,
and then it just wasn't.
It just crashed. And good riddance. Good fucking riddance. Those jean suits.
The
bro.
Only one that stood the test of time was Sean John.
Yep.
But he knew how to diversify.
And he moved into suits and
exactly.
stuff like that. So
exactly.
he knew where the money was. Shout out to Puffy. But on this episode of Speak Up, so that was fucked up situation scenarios.
Which is
Frank
a good
Mazzatura.
Segue. I think it's a good segue.
That is a good segue. I like this. For season four, you funky bitch, you. And can you, since I did that, do you want to talk about what we're talking about today?
Sure. So today we're talking about, I don't know how this came up. How did this come up?
We were talking about fuck shit, and
this as we usually do. You guys don't even seem to understand that, like, our whole life is this podcast.
It's like, it's just dissecting.
It's just like we have probably like a million episodes outside and just our regular conversation.
It gets to a point sometimes where we're like, we should probably
stop. Yeah, like we have to now actively stop ourselves from talking and being like, this is podcast material,
because you know there's money on the line as brand ambassadors.
As brand ambassadors, I can't believe that's a real thing that's happened for us. And
we still haven't shouted out that brand, but we're gonna do it.
let's peep it out for a little bit. Right. No, don't look
Where's
for
my
it.
Phone? Okay. Merch coming soon. All right, but go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
So we was talking about fuck shit, and somehow we started talking about it. Yeah, it's kind of hot in every studio. Anyways, we were talking about fuck shit, about movies and upcoming movies for this new year, and we've noticed that there's a trend. There's a trend that nobody asked for.
Nobody asked for.
Which is the motherfucking biopic. Bruh. The music biopic.
And it's like, what the fuck? Like, no, it's like, even like the historical biopics, like Nat Turner films and stuff like that, I was like, nobody's checking for this shit. I didn't ask for this, bro.
I watched Birth of a Nation, by the way.
Did you know Birth of a Nation is actually...
Yeah, it's a propaganda. I understand, but I like reclaiming titles and things like that, like taking back spaces and whatnot.
But the thing is, it didn't. It's not going to eclipse the original one, because the original one was just over-the-top racist. It's like...
Yeah, I'm going to be real with
you.
The
pinnacle of racism.
I know that we're like supposed to like all of these movies, but it wasn't that good. Like from a technical,
the new one?
Yeah, from
no,
like a tech. Did you
it
see
still,
it?
No, I saw the previews and I was like, this is bad, bro.
From like a directing, screenwriting perspective, it wasn't that good.
Damn it, man.
Yeah, it just wasn't. Like, I know there was a lot of like issues with that whole thing because of his past and whatnot.
Somebody told me, because he's got a white woman. Is that what it is?
No, it's because he was him and the person that he wrote it with, mm-hmm, were charged with raping a woman in college, and he was acquitted, but his co-writer was convicted. And I think it was eventually like overturned or whatever. But
you can't get that stink off of you. You've been accused of that. It's over.
Yeah. So they and the white woman thing.
But
so.
You were like, you're like, on top of those two factors, it still just wasn't a good movie.
No, like seriously, just from like a technical like movie quality standpoint, it wasn't.
So do you feel that's the fuck shit that you have with biopics, is just like the quality of them? Because that's how I feel about the Notorious movie. I was like, this is just not good.
And the fact that it was like dubbed.
Was it dubbed?
Bro, you couldn't tell? Like, those voices?
When he was rapping the songs. Oh, okay. Yeah,
but, like, sometimes when he was talking, too. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, they hit him with the Bruce Lee treatment. They were like, yo, we just got to dub
They hit
your
the
voice
English
right
version
quick.
With the English dub. It was very, like, you know, like that Uncanny Valley shit where it's like, something's off about this.
Yeah, and I was just like... It felt like this wasn't the real story. I don't know why, but some of it just felt like I was like, some of this is a lie. I was like, it feels like a lie. Like, this didn't actually happen.
That's one. Okay, we'll get to that. Because that's one of my pet peeves with biopics.
Is when they start lying?
Because usually the people behind it is like people that have a stake in it or involved.
They have an agenda.
They have an agenda. So it's like this weird ass retelling where it's like everyone's the hero. And it's like, case in point. Okay, let's back up.
Okay.
Do you agree that the music, like, hip-hop bio has been completely just thrust in our face because of Straight Outta Compton?
Oh, it's been bastardized. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, did you like Straight Outta Compton?
I liked the Straight Outta Compton after the first 15 minutes. The first 15 minutes, I was like, this is terrible. The first 15 minutes was when Eazy-E was in the crack house, and then there was a tank, and then they were shooting at the tank, and then he was running from roof to roof at Carmen fucking San Diego.
But did that happen?
Because apparently Eazy-E knew parkour. I don't think Eazy-E knew parkour because he drank 40.
Yeah, but I feel like hood niggas know parkour, but they don't call it parkour. They just call it hood nigga shit.
I mean, was it accurate in terms of the war on drugs and were they really bringing tanks to the neighborhoods? Yes, absolutely. That is a historical fact. Did they bring it to Eazy-E in that particular drop? No, they did not. Like,
are you
come
sure
on.
Though?
Get the fuck out of here. Who knows that? Who knows that? Dre knows that? Cube knows maybe, that maybe, with his college ass.
Maybe he
Who?
Was like, maybe he was
Ren
like,
Ren wasn't even in the film. that's the only thing Ren, that fucked me up is that I was like, they did MC Ren.
They
wrong.
Did.
They did.
They
wrong.
Did. And I feel like they fucking did. But then that goes back to like the retelling. Mm-hmm. Who was involved? The main people were involved in the actual making of the film were Dre,
and Ice Cube.
Cube and Eazy-E's wife, which right. makes sense.
Right, exactly. And who did the film focus on?
Exactly. Ren got shitted on.
He did get shitted on.
Like, his influence and fucking, and his importance in NWA was completely, they gave him one line where,
Even how they intro'd him was fucked up. I was like, he was just in the corner. And I was like, my man. Right, that's exactly what they did. They just gave him a title and he was just in the cut. And I was like, what the fuck, bro?
They gave that one throwaway line when Cube was like pissed off about like, you know, the money situation as he was.
As he should be, as he should have been.
Right. And they were like, you know, Rand tries to be a writer, but he's not as good as you or some shit like that. And I was like,
yo.
Like, let's.
And you know what's fucked up about that? They were like, yeah, that needs to be in the film. But Dre choking a bitch, the shit that we all knew, the shit that we were all waiting for, then we're not going to talk about it. I remember I looked over to my left and I was like, so we're not going to talk about it?
And
we're not going to talk about it?
Everyone was a hero of the movie. Like, nobody's, like, even the fact that
you slapping D. Barnes, we're just not going to talk about
that
it?
That wasn't involved no. in it. He was just a young man trying to follow his dreams, trying to take care of his children.
He was just a good kid in a mad city. I was like, no, you weren't. Right? You brought a lot of this on yourself.
Beating bitches.
You were choking bitches, bro. And we knew it. Like, come on, don't play us. Like, you can't rewrite history. We know what happened. That Misha Leigh document or biopic.
I didn't watch it.
Watched it. I don't want to watch 3 hours of a bitch getting her ass whooped. I don't need that in my life.
Honestly, I don't know if I heard if it was good or not. I feel like the constant feedback that I got was...
It was 3 hours of a bitch getting her ass whooped?
I feel like everybody was like, yeah, man, it got real. Like, that was the feedback I heard. It wasn't like, oh, it was good. You know, it was like a good production. It was a good movie from like a technical... No, it just got real.
It just got real. Yeah. And nobody asked for that. Nobody asked for a Misha Leigh biopic.
So who is driving this? Because, okay, so we can agree that nobody has asked for these things.
Yeah, but, I mean, I feel like it's doing the artist a disservice when they do this, right? Because
okay.
we can think of a lot of biopics that they've done and they just didn't do the person justice. Like, we can go back to Notorious where you had the dude from the Avengers playing Tupac. And I was like... Nobody picked him.
Yeah.
And it fucks up the character, right? Tell me that doesn't take you out when someone as iconic as Tupac gets some run-of-the-mill dude to play his character. No, even if the story's not about him.
No, it is. It takes you out of it because it's like, at least try. Okay, so let's run down the shit that's wrong with fucking biopics.
So historical inaccuracy is number one.
Consistently, casting has been a problem.
Yes. Casting. Number two, the fuck shit with biopics. Casting. Number two, talk about it.
It's just what you said. It's like they can't get anyone who, A, remotely looks like the person.
Right.
And then B, usually, which will bring us to number three, is they usually can't get any music rights.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
So they can't like dub in the actual song or whatever. And so you rely on the actor
to do it.
And it's 99.9% of the time trash.
Yep. Yep.
Now I will say people gave him shit, but I liked the Snoop out of Straight Outta Compton, who is the guy from Atlanta.
But you know why they gave him shit, right? Because we all thought it was going to be Nipsey Hussle that was going to walk through the door.
But
everybody felt that it was going to be Nipsey Hussle.
You decide that, like, just because we collectively think that somebody's going to be good for a role doesn't mean that they're going to be good for a role. Like,
I agree.
Nipsey don't have, as far as I know, maybe some hood movies, but does he have any acting credentials?
He probably doesn't, but the dude who plays Snoop Dogg had four lines. I'm pretty sure Nipsey Hussle could have built it out four lines.
But he's an actor, though.
True.
True. And I think he did the damn thing.
No, he did. I would say he did a good job in terms of getting Snoop Dogg's mannerisms
yes.
and inflections down. He did very good.
And I would much prefer that than...
A lookalike. A doppelganger.
I think he was close enough.
Okay.
It wasn't like egregious. It wasn't like a light-skinned nigga with curls.
Yeah, but even the Dre dude, I was like, why is Dre skinny? Dre was fat as shit back
then.
He was 264
had,
pounds.
And always was. He right. always had a chubby ass face. Like, he always was
a
chub monster.
He was a fat dude.
He was a fat dude.
He was 6'4" and just fat with triple necks. Yeah. Him and Suge Knight kicking it. And then they got some skinny kid who went to Harvard.
Yo, fucking.
Or Oxford, sorry.
Did he go to Oxford?
Yeah. The dude who played Dre? Yeah.
I don't like him.
Nobody did.
I don't like like him at all. Even though he's on The Walking Dead, and I can't stand him.
Going back to casting, bro.
Casting, man. So, I mean, what's the remedy then for this casting problem?
I feel that it's not about necessarily the person looking like them, right? I feel like that has something to do with it, but you can get close, right? Yeah. I feel that when it's so far off, it takes you out of it.
Yeah.
Like a skinny Dre or the Tupac from Notorious, right? Like, that's going to take you out of it. Not necessarily just on looks, but just on everything, like who you pick. And I feel that a lot of the times now we're so used to seeing people like on social media and whatnot portray these types of personalities.
Yeah.
And so we immediately insert those people in types of the roles, but instead they're trying to get actors to do it. And sometimes it doesn't pop off.
Yeah, I think with those types of things, like, you really have the acting, like, quality has to be pretty elite. Because you have to get somebody that's going to suspend disbelief. Like, okay. You...
Yep.
Know that that's not that person, but they get so close with the mannerisms and just the way that you remember that person that you can believe for this moment that that is.
You know what it is?
Hmm.
They need to do their Googles.
And they need to watch. They need to do their Googles. They need to watch tons hours of interview footage.
Yep.
You know, like, how the person really acted.
Do the research.
Do the research.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's the thing about acting credibility. They don't. You can tell when somebody does the research and when they don't. And yeah, I would say that. But you did say something about musical biopics that you had a number three, but I'm just gonna slip this in there because you already touched on it. Mm-hmm. Gaining the musical rights.
Apparently it's tough as shit.
Then don't fucking do it.
But number three impacts number one.
Okay, go ahead.
Because if you can obtain, so that's historically hard, just in general, is obtaining the music rights, especially if you want to paint an accurate picture. That's why we get all of this inaccuracy, because the people with the rights are usually the people that had, like, firsthand involvement in it. Either they're a member of the group or they're a part of the project. And so if for them to give up the rights, for them to allow you to have their music in your project, they're going to have their own agenda. So, like, one in three are tied.
Okay. All right. So one in three are definitely tied. But I feel that because it is a musical biopic, you have to first at least start off with the music. If you do not have rights to the music, then you should not move forward with this fucking project. Because I'm just going to put it out there right now. That Aaliyah shit, and I was like, you didn't get any of the hits? You got none of them. You got three album cuts, and you got none of the hits. What the fuck are we doing right now?
Her family is very protective of her image, though.
That's cool. Then don't put out the fucking biopic.
I don't know. Did anybody ask for that, though?
Nobody asked
for that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Aaliyah.
Okay. I was going to ask you that. I was like, how do you feel about Aaliyah? Because some people feel two ways about it.
I get it. And, like, let's be real.
Are you keeping it real? Are you keeping it real right now?
Do you want to keep it real?
No. I love Aaliyah. I am okay with that. But I know some people don't necessarily feel that way.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm asking questions. I'm not.
Did we have a conversation with
her? No. I'm just asking.
No, okay. Questions. Let's be real.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to be real quick.
Break it down.
I think that part of the reason why she has been, basically she's a saint of R&B hip hop, right? Is because she passed. I mean, that happens with most artists. If Aaliyah was alive and kicking right now, would she be a factor?
She'd be Janet.
I don't know if she would be Janet.
She'd be Janet.
I don't know if she would be Janet.
So do you feel like she would just be doing some ratchet music right now?
I'm not saying that. I don't know. I'm just saying she would be
Sierra and she would just lame up by now.
I don't know what she would be doing. My thing is that we'll never know.
We'll never know.
We can theorize, but, like, let's be real. Okay, so who were people that were super hot when she was hot?
Maya.
Thank you, because that is exactly who I wanted to talk about.
Maya needs a biopic.
No, Maya doesn't. And don't get me wrong, like, Aaliyah and Maya were my bitches.
Okay.
They could do no wrong in my. They could go out to the desert and
break up with their boyfriend
with sticks and choreographed dance moves. And they could still do no wrong in my.
We still need to do that breakup. I'd be like, that's the only way to do it, people. That's really the only way to do it.
But let's think about where Maya is in her career right now.
She's in Europe. Knocking out hits.
I mean, hits.
Okay.
Maya's independent.
Yep.
Doing our own thing. Yeah. And it looks like an independent artist doing our own thing. There's no hits. There's no cuts. There's no even like music video. Like even her album cover was trash. And I love Maya.
You know what it is, though? I mean, we're definitely deviating from the subject.
But oh, we'll get back. This is where we're about tangents.
But the thing about it is, if you're a dance artist, like you're a dancer slash singer and not a slinger slash dancer, it's downhill for you, right?
Okay.
Because look at Tinashe, right? Tinashe is a dancer slash singer. And so it's like...
There's more problems there with Tinashe. Don't get me wrong, I actually like her, especially her mixtapes.
No, her last one that she dropped was kind of dope.
Yeah.
I was like, people are sleeping on this. This is kind of dope.
Yeah, and that Aquarius album was actually pretty good, but... Okay. There's more problems. She needs to pick a fucking sound and stick with it. She doesn't know who the fuck she wants
to be.
She doesn't have a sound.
Because she started off with Mustard, and Mustard was like, I have a sound.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could do that, but I'm expensive.
Unless you want to sign to me and I get a check.
And then she tried that kind of like, I don't know what to call that R&B, that kind of like moody.
Yeah, that trippy shit.
Yeah, like. It's not like trip hop, but it's like trip R&B or whatever you want to call it. And then she tried like straight up pop. And it was like, girl, like you confusing people. And she has one, she looks too much like FKA Twigs. No, she does. Like they're interchangeable. And FKA actually has like a following. Like okay. And she has a sound.
Right. And she's like, hi.
And yeah, like I'm over here doing my thing. I feel like nobody can remember what the fuck Tinashe looks like.
Again, it goes back to she's a dancer slash singer.
But she's not even that prolific of a dancer.
She's actually a really good dancer.
No, she's a really good dancer, but now everybody can dance.
True. Tinashe need a biopic.
No, nobody asked for that. Which brings us back to number four. Nobody asked.
That is actually a good one. Making biopics that nobody's interested in this story.
I mean, honestly, I'll give you an episode of Unsung. Like, Unsung is interesting. Have you watched Unsung?
Unsung is the biopic that nobody asked for.
But I feel like Unsung is the biopic that nobody asked for, but we can tolerate. It's an hour. Yeah. You know, you find out the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
They just tell it to you.
And they tell it to you in a documentary type of format.
Yeah. I could do an Unsung, but I don't need to know the fucking end to end of New Edition. Like, I did not ask for it. I will give y'all the reunion tour.
Okay.
All the groups get back together. Blackstreet, Guy, fucking
Drew Hill.
Oh my god,
Drew Hill.
Drew Hill needs a fucking biopic.
I would be on that shit.
I stand corrected. Drew Hill does need a biopic.
I'd be on that shit so goddamn fast
because I feel like maybe
112 needs a biopic.
What? Okay, why though? Let me. I think I have a theory though.
Because I didn't see these Diddy contracts.
Yeah, well, that first of all,
motherfuckers for real.
So then Dream would need a biopic.
Who?
You know who the fuck Dream is.
Who?
You know who the fuck Dream is.
I don't think we're allowed to talk about
them. Somebody busted the door. Pop.
Right. They will find us. We're not supposed to talk about them. But yeah, biopics that nobody asked for.
Maybe it's, okay, so Drew Hill. I would be down for a Drew Hill biopic, but this is why. Because I feel like I don't really know the story of Drew Hill.
Do you know the story of Jagged Edge?
No, but I'm not sure if I care.
Nobody cares. Nobody.
And don't get me wrong, I honestly think out of that, like, time frame of boy groups or like man R&B groups, mm-hmm. Jagged Edge has to be my favorite.
How come we don't have man groups anymore, like quartets?
I think it's just not a thing that's happening right now, but it'll come back around.
You think so?
They always do. They always go out and they come back.
I hope so, because something about harmony really brings us on together, because some motherfuckers just ain't got it.
Yeah, I like groups just in general, but it has to be the right group. You know what I'm saying?
True. No, I feel
Jagged Edge, though.
Jagged Edge was dope.
Oh my god, J.E. Heartbreak? That was such a good album.
That dude said, where's the party at? That song came on, and why did everybody get on the floor? Everybody was like, hey! It was at my homeboy's wedding, and everyone was like, hey!
They've made, like, wedding music. They made black wedding music.
They really did, because that Let's Get Married dropped,
too. Oh my god!
Hey, everybody hit the floor.
Everybody!
I was like, it gets them every time. Is that a classic?
I think that is. And that's when they were talking about wife and man. You can't get nobody. nobody talk about wifey bitches.
I have a theory about that.
Is it a theory for this episode? No.
I'm just going to throw it out there. If we want to bring it up in another episode, we can do that.
Okay.
But here's my theory on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think back in the day, dudes was singing to bitches and selling bitches dreams because they thought that's what bitches wanted, right? And then bitches got tired of being sold a dream. And they were like, listen, if you're just trying to fucking go, then let me know that you're just trying to fucking go. But don't sell me a dream. And so dudes was like, all right. And they just start keeping it 1,000. And then bitches was like, okay, I like the fact that you're keeping it 1,000. So that's why I fuck with you.
I don't know if I agree with that. It's you don't a good agree with theory. That? I think it's more of like there's an ebb and flow of everything, right? So I feel like that got played out. We've just transitioned into a time like where fuckboys reign. And I feel like fuckboys started doing what they do best is making fuckboy music. Like, honestly, as much as I love Ty Dolla $ign.
Yeah, there's a lot to say about the fuckboy epidemic. That's very
true. I can appreciate the fact that he, I will say, I don't think Ty Dolla $ign is a fuckboy.
No.
I think he just keeps it all the way real.
Yeah. He gives zero fucks. Zero.
He gives it all the way real. So I feel like we're not talking about love anymore. And I feel like now females have just accepted it.
Yeah.
Because what are we can't like hold a gun to somebody's head and say, make me love song. Like, you can't do that.
But here's the thing, though. I think that especially as women have been getting more opportunities and things have been more progressive and whatnot, with women who have options, it's like, is that what I want? Do I want to be tied down to something when I can be out in these streets?
It would be nice to have a bit of a balance.
True.
To have like, okay, let's just fuck and go our separate ways or whatever songs. And then like, hey, I would like to see
fuck again.
And maybe we can have some dinner beforehand.
I don't do that. If we fuck the first date, what are we getting dinner for? We know where we're doing. Look, yeah. We're going on subject. We're
on subject. Okay.
I'm going to start talking about
honestly,
bitches.
Honestly, I don't even know what this episode is about anymore.
Biopics. Biopics about
music,
bad bitches.
Music
biopic. Okay, so let's talk about this. What's a biopic besides Jagged Edge that you would like to see?
I said I didn't want to see that shit.
I thought you said you did want to see the Jagged Edge one.
What do they have to say?
All right.
Except the twins. I felt like there was something always up with the twins.
Yeah, them dudes was always beefing.
Well, yeah, weren't they, though?
Well, okay, so here's the thing.
Oh, what's that one guy in Jagged Edge that he, like, beat his wife and made her swallow her wedding ring?
We're going to skip over that. Because of the statutes of limitations. He still might be in some shit. Okay, so here's the thing. With a good pile pick, I feel like there needs to be a great tragedy. Like, somebody has to die.
Okay.
Somebody has to die, get shot, go to jail, or something like that, right?
Okay.
So, we need an artist. We need an artist or a group that has that. We need a pivotal point, meaning, like, a song that just took them to the moon.
Okay.
And then we need some kind of controversy in the middle. Like, shit just went left.
I mean, I feel like most... Well, I guess not, because if we're talking about, like, Jagged Edge is a good example of that not happening.
Right, exactly, right? But you could do something like Chris Brown, where there's a hit, there is an incident, but there's no tragedy. Nobody's died yet.
Yeah, we just have to wait for him to OD.
We just have to wait for him to OD.
And Chris Brown fans, don't come for me. You know that nigga's on drugs. Like hard drugs, not the fun drugs, like the hard ones.
You think he's on the hard ones?
He's doing something. He's way too skinny, bro. He's gaunt. He's looking gaunt.
I would say Soulja Boy is doing the hard drugs.
But nobody gives a fuck about Soulja Boy. So he could die tomorrow and it would be like...
Yeah, it would be a blessing. Actually, I'm not going to say that. I don't wish that on anybody, but, you know.
It would just be what it is. It just would be like, oh, okay, like, well, you know, there's a chain of events.
We saw that coming. You flashing up guns on social media, and that's usually what happens.
Oh, my God. That fucking Soulja Boy story. Did you see that?
He has a Soulja Boy.
No. The one where he was being interviewed, and he was talking about some situation where he was like, yeah, and then I came out, and I saw him, and I was like,
boom.
And it boom. Was like clearly a made up story that he was like top of the doming.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, but you know what?
Even the interviewer was like, so you murdered someone?
And you just put that out there? Is that what we're doing? He's gonna be like, nah, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Okay, so is
did
there
you
any,
or didn't you?
Okay, so is there any music biopic besides Straight Outta Compton that you like? Because we have to find a theme. We have to see what's making these good.
I liked Straight Outta Compton. What other biopics did I like? I liked Ray.
That was mine, too. Like, but besides that.
Let's see. Ray. Damn it, man. Wait. Shit.
Music biopics are
tough. Those are really hard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about...
Actually, you know what? This one, because everybody's seen it, kind of like Roots, everybody's seen it.
Don't say no stupid.
The Michael Jackson telephone. But everybody's seen it.
Are you talking about the one with Jason Bieber?
The 9-part series, the one that has Angela Bassett in it as the mom.
Is that the one with Jason Bieber?
Yes, the one with Jason Bieber, yes.
Oh, okay, because I thought you were talking about that shit with Flex.
No. The one with... Don't do that. No, one with Jason Bieber, and it's a 12-part series, because everybody's seen it.
I'll give you that one. That was good.
It was good. And if you're telling a story like Michael Jackson, it's like, yeah, you kind of do need to break this up into, like, nine different movies.
Was there a tragedy? Well, there was the rat died.
He was getting his ass beat all the fucking time. His life was a fucking tragedy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what was it. That's he was watching the car crash.
Ray had a tragedy. Okay, all right. I think your theory is holding up.
Yeah, and somebody's got to die. And when Ray's mom died, right? And that's what fucked him up.
His mom and his brother. His brother.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it fucked him up, and that's where it was. So, yeah. So, with all of those elements, you know who should have had a biopic and not an unsung? They really should have had a biopic. Hmm. But then I think about it, I was like, yeah, nobody would have watched that shit. But they should have had one anyway. Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Did they have an unsung?
They had an unsung.
Oh, I need to watch that.
The unsung basically just tells you that crack was involved.
Can I guess who was influenced by I would watch a Bone Thugs and Harmony biopic.
I would watch a Bone Thugs and Harmony biopic too, because they were national, they were worldwide superstars when that album came out. And they had a tragedy with Eazy-E. They had a tragedy in terms of their career because everybody was on crack.
Everybody on crack?
Well, someone significant was on crack.
And we saw that happen.
And your man was in jail. Wishbone was in jail.
It was the one that he went to jail before they really blew up.
Right. Flesh.
No. Was it? No. Wish, crazy, flesh.
No, wish, crazy, lazy, busy. Busy.
No, it was Flesh.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fleshbone. So, I feel like they should have had a biopic.
Do you feel like it's too close to the Straight Outta Compton universe?
But here's the thing, though. It's that there were so many integral and pivotal people in that era that you have to give them some attention, and they're going to cross over. Right? Because it's kind of like when you do the Biggie story, right? Mm-hmm. You have to talk about Tupac. But the fact that you don't go in depth enough into Tupac to really understand his relevance is where you get conflicting issues, right?
Yeah.
Because then you're looking at him like, oh, Tupac was just this guy who knew Biggie. And it's like, no. Or like in the Notorious movie, Jay-Z wasn't there. And it's like, that's very important right there. Mm-hmm. So you have to do that. And so... Or like with Straight Outta Compton, they ain't talking anything about the Dog Pound. Yeah. Those are pivotal people. And so they kind of need their own thing, and they're just going to flip-flop over each other and then come together as the Avengers.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like they're building, that's why I said a universe, because I feel like they're building these like music, as long as they keep bio, the same actors. I don't think that's going to happen. Because they're doing the Tupac one,
And they got the Biggie guy. They got the same guy who did Biggie. So Notorious B.I.G. is going to make a cameo appearance in the Tupac movie, and they got the same guy who played Biggie in Notorious.
Why?
Because they're trying to create a universe, like you said.
I have my suspicions about that Tupac movie, and now they have been confirmed.
Okay, what's your
suspicions? Because Notorious was a trash movie.
Okay.
And if they're just going with that into the Tupac movie, and I was already kind of had my reservations about the actor.
Why? He looks just like him.
He does, there's something still off. And I can't put my finger on it. Let me stew on it for a little bit. But there's voice just something. There's something about the voice. It's kind of feeling dubby, like the Notorious.
What we can agree is that Smurf don't fuck with dubs.
Not English versions being dubbed over English. Like, it makes no sense. That's insanity. We'll see if the Tupac one's cool.
We'll see. But
Is Bone Thugs the only one that you would like to see that hasn't happened?
I would like to see I would like to see a Run DMC or a Def Jam biopic.
I'm with you on the Def Jam.
But someone brought up a good point. They said if you do the Def Jam one, there's going to be too many cameos. And I was like, you're right. That's too dependent on way too many factors. Because then you have to get people. Then you have to get a collective of Beastie Boys. Then you have to get a collective of Run DMC. Then you have to get an LL Cool J. Then you know what I'm saying? And well, all then, these people have to be
the
there.
But then put the time into it. It's like we there's no deadline for this. Like I could see a fucking Def Jam biopic in the next year, or I could see it 5 years from now and it would still be relevant to me. So like take the time to do those things.
Number five. Take the time.
Take
the fucking time to avoid the fuck shit of being a biopic that nobody asked for. Take the fucking time. These people were instrumental in a lot of other people's lives. You can't do them dirty. You can't do them dirty like that.
Yeah, I feel like it's a tight rope to walk, you know? Mm-hmm. You got to keep it real. But I guess not too real. You're not going to get your music right.
But yeah, a Run DMC or a Def Jam one. I would be more interested in a Run DMC one before a Def Jam one. Even though Def Jam is hip hop history, right? Because it's mm-hmm. the first label. I feel there would be too many moving parts and somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. Because if there's only 2 minutes of LL Cool J, but there's an hour and a half of Run DMC and then there's 3 hours of Beastie Boys, people are going to feel away.
Yeah. You know what biopic movie I want to see?
What?
No Limit.
Yes. Abso-fucking-lutely. Abso-fucking-yes. Yeah. We're going to end the podcast. Abso-fucking-lutely. A No Limit. God damn it. Yeah, make some God. Yes. 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 Yes.
You have all the elements.
Yes.
You have all the elements of it. You could get the music rights. You could have involvement.
Yep.
There was tragedy.
There was definitely tragedy.
There was controversy.
Somebody went to jail.
People were getting fucked over.
Yeah.
And
it's the classic story of a guy from the ghetto making it big.
That would be a good one.
That would be a shout out to No Limit Records and No Limit. You know what I want? I will accept the biopic, but if they do not give any emphasis or any spotlight to the person who was designing those album covers, I'm gonna feel a certain kind of way.
I know. Actually, I think he deserves his own film. Where he was like,
the art director of No Limit Records needs a biopic.
Flames. Just in the middle of the night, he woke up and he was like, flames. Flames and tanks.
And they were like, yeah, man. Run with it.
That's on all of them.
On everything.
If you take all of the No Limit album covers,
it's the same cover.
It's Video Link, man.
It's the Video Link. It's just there's a yellow one, there's a red one, there's a purple flame, there's a blue flame. But you don't get a flame
either
way.
And a tank in the back.
And a tank in the back. Yes, a No Limit. God damn it. You come with that hot shit, right? Yes, absolutely. And I'm fucked up because I didn't think of them initially, and so I feel bad that I didn't think of them.
It's okay. I feel like they're underrated.
They're definitely underrated. Because they were the first people. They were like the pre-Rockefeller, right? To come in, sell your shit to the actual label instead of coming to a label for a deal and then coming in with $1 million and leaving with 1,200,000,000,000 trillion.
Masterpiece money is long, bro.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. If you can take someone with the talent of Silk the Shocker and make them a platinum artist, there's some genius behind that. I need to
don't talk about my man. First of all, he's one of the few like old school. Well, I guess that's old school now. He still looked good.
Is this a 12-year-old? Is this a 12-year-old crush coming back? Is that what this is about?
I love Silk the Shocker.
Is this what this is about?
Silk the Shocker can still get it.
So does that mean what? Where Lil Zane needs a biopic too? According to your standards,
is not at all. Okay. Nobody even remembers. I don't even remember what that song was. I just remember he was on a jet ski.
A little left of us living. You know, he really tried to be Tupac. Like, if you listen to it, you're like, damn, he really was doing his best Tupac impression. It didn't come off well, but he was really trying. I'll show you the video, and then you're going to be like, damn it, man.
Yeah, I don't remember too much about him.
She said, Silk the Shocker can still.
He can still get it.
Damn it, man. All right. Silk the Shocker. What's your Snapchat? Let him know.
Bang _. No, excuse me.
I'm sorry. Okay. yourself.
You put me on.
Do it.
It's Bangem, B-A-N-G-E-M underscore Smurf.
Snapchat. Snapchat's popping, by the way.
It's lit. I haven't posted in a little bit, though.
It's all right. When you start getting these followers up, you're going to be like, well, since the since the crowd is demanding it, more of these fucking rockerwear jackets.
Hey, I got something for you.
I got something for everybody
who's hating on my rockerwear jacket.
Do not.
That jacket is dope.
It is
dope. I think we're going to talk about that every episode of season four.
Because, man, it made me so mad. I was like, she really busted this out the closet. And she was like, no, I'm fucking with it. And this is what's happening.
Shit.
All right, so are there any other biopics that you would like to see, or any other pet peeves that you have about biopics that you're like, how do you feel about biopics being spread out over a number of, like, an episode thing as opposed to one movie?
You know, honestly, I'm cool with whatever format that makes sense for the biopic. Like, so you're
okay with the series?
I'm okay. Like, if it's well done, like, if it's a well done miniseries or whatever, I'm cool with that. If it's a feature film, to me, that's tough. That's probably the toughest format, I think, to go for. I don't know why more people don't do the documentary, though.
Yeah.
Because to me, I feel like that's the most true way to get it. Why do I need to see other motherfuckers playing roles when I could get, like, footage and interviews with the actual people?
Speaking of which, you're going to take this shot, and then I'm going to tell you who else needs a biopic. Oh, shit.
All right.
And then you're going to be like, yes. Because you want to know why? Not only does it have a tragedy, not only does it...
Were you sitting there thinking the whole time of how you could trump my No Limit?
No. This actually just came to me. You said something that triggered something, and I was like, yeah, this definitely needs to happen. But, as you're taking your shot...
Oh, I was trying to snap it, but I was like, there's too much going on right now.
How are you going to snap it with one?
I don't know. I'll snap it for you. It's fine, because I don't want it to loop back, and then I'm trying to edit it in the episode and whoop-de-woo. All
right, so a group that definitely needs a biopic, because it has tragedy, classic story, coming up from the bottom, now we hear, and very pivotal and instrumental to an entire culture and influencing people across the world, Wu-Tang.
You know, I thought about that.
Okay.
They have all of the elements. And you know Wu-Tang is like my life. I don't know if I would want to see it.
Because RZA would make it about himself.
Well, there's that.
Yep.
It would just be with Iron Fist merch. You know it would.
No, it'd be like Wu-Tang, the RZA story.
Honestly, what? I feel like, exactly. And it'd be like, well, wait a minute.
It's like, no. No.
Yeah, I think you would have a lot of that. I think you would have the RZA co-opting the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it would being it. Because, oh my God. Like, let me be real. Okay, you know, okay, everybody that knows me knows I love Wu-Tang. But even...
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
But even their concert that we just saw, fairly recently, made me understand that the RZA is delusional.
Because he came out with a bottle?
He was too hyped, bro.
He was a little too hyped.
And he kept, like... Okay, the only person more hyped than him was Yuga.
Listen, he only gets to come out the house oh so many times.
I still remember him in his turtleneck sweater and slacks just in the front of the stage. So happy to be there.
That dude have the good pants on. He really did have the good pants on.
I'm not joking. He had on a turtleneck sweater and slacks.
Yeah, and some good pants and some shoes.
But the RZA was like in everybody's face. He was on one side of the stage, the next side of the stage. And I'm not trying to see the RZA story.
Yeah. He would fuck it up for everyone. So, and that's the thing, though. It's like, I guess that's number six in terms of agendas. If you can clearly see that someone has an agenda, or it's being told from the perspective of one people when it involved multiple, it took the contribution of multiple people, then it fucks up the whole movie and it takes away from the experience. And you can't even suspend disbelief if you're an avid fan, right?
Yeah, because you're like, oh, well, I know that's not how this happened.
Right. Or if we're focusing too much on one person.
On the fucking RZA.
Or if we're focusing, like, on someone's personal relationship. It's like, nobody gives a fuck about the RZA's personal relationship or where you met your wife and shit like that.
That's another thing, too. I think that there has to be appeal for that person outside of the group as well for it to be a good biopic to add to your formula.
What do you mean?
Because, okay, if we think about it, like, Dre's relationships, I guess we were, like, Eazy-E's relationships. Like, we kind of all knew about that at the time. Like, Cube's wife. Like, we've always known that she's been, like, an integral part of his career and his life. But, like, the RZA, like, I don't give a fuck who the RZA was fucking.
This is what I'm saying. But, you know, that would be all on the front of the fucking movie. And it would be the love story that drives the film. And
you're I don't think I would be down for, I would be down for a Wu-Tang documentary.
Yes.
Most, they need to do that.
Yeah. But again.
But then it would turn into the man.
It would turn into fucking RZA. RZA is the fuck shit of the Wu-Tang story. That's what it is. It's like, no, because we're going to get some RZA fuck shit, and then we're going to be right here.
Yeah, I would definitely like to see a documentary, though, because I want to know how 18 motherfuckers got together and formed a group.
And we're like, what do y'all do? We play chess, we watch Chinese movies, and we spit bars. What? Yes! Absolutely. Let's see it. And we stomp because out on occasions. Yes.
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 Yes. I need to see that. I need to see how that happened, how that came to be, but not in a feature-length film, like in a documentary. I want interviews because we have most of them are alive besides ODB.
I would take even a Netflix show. Like you have seasons 1, 2, and 3. I would even take that.
Yeah, but okay, so are we talking
like they did
about
Narcos? Because you all knew Pablo was going to die and everybody still watched
it. If the RZA is involved in it, I think it would turn out like the Get Down. And I'm sorry, I can't fuck with the Get Down.
Is it too bright for you?
It's too fucking, I'm like, there's too much happening. Because
you know it's based on a true story, right?
That's my problem. Because I get that it's based on a true story, but there's so much like surrealism in it that it's like, it feels like it's conflicting to me. Like it's like, is so this is real, but it's not, but it is, but it ain't. And
it's like you took a real grimy story and you made it a musical.
Which I would be cool with too, but there's like these, like there, you know how like Atlanta has like these moments of surrealism where it's like, whoa, like that's trippy. Mm-hmm. It's like, but this is a true story and I know that didn't happen.
She's like, I know he wasn't just shiny and he was just
right.
Nobody busted out a rhyme in the middle of this.
Right. It's just, and there wasn't like missions inside missions.
There were a lot of missions. I like the Get Down. I won't front about it. I like the Get
I
Down.
I would like the Get, you know what would make the Get Down a better thing for me?
What?
Is if it wasn't based on a true story.
So if they, oh, so if it was just a fictional story.
If it was
story,
just a fictional story, I would rock with it better.
But
because then I play this
version.
Weird game where I'm like trying to pick out who the people are. And it's, but it's like, who's the man on the rooftop? What's the mission? Oh, that's a real person. But that never happened.
Actually, because I watched it with someone who's not inclined with hip hop, and they were like, wait, so who's real and who's fake? And she called. She's like, it was all a dream. She was like, did you know Grandmaster Flash is a real person? I was like, yes, that one's real. And she was like, what about this one? No, that one's
but
not.
But was he on a rooftop?
Probably. Probably. Probably.
So
KRS-One needs a biopic. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was thinking about that, but then I decided against it.
The bridge is over. The bridge is over.
Oh my God. Oh my God. When I tell you, I was at work listening to KRS-One's Greatest Hits. When I tell you, I was like this. There's two people that made me realize that they have been severely, severely underrated in like the analogs of hip hop. KRS-One and Missy Elliott.
Missy Elliott has been shitted on. Yeah.
When I tell you,
and
fucking
she wrote everybody's song in the 90s.
Hits, bro.
She wrote everybody's
song. Her catalog
songs.
Is fucking ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Would you watch that? Would you watch a Missy, Tim, Magoo, Aaliyah, Genuine biopic?
Yes.
Who would it focus on?
I would say I would watch
Tweet.
That if you focused on Timberland. Because I feel like Timberland has an interesting story.
Yeah, I think so too.
Right? Because there's
Bubba Sparks. Sorry.
You know,
Nicole Ray.
Miss Jade. No. Miss Jade was spitting.
Wait, what was that? What was her song? Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. No, I'm thinking about, is it Miss Dynamite? Is that what I'm thinking about?
You're probably thinking about Miss Dynamite.
Yeah, because it was Miss Dynamite. I remember that.
Who was the girl from No Limit? Why am I?
Mia X.
I was thinking, I don't know why Mia X just came to my mind.
Cain and Abel.
Gangsta Boo. Yes! Gangsta Boo needs a fucking biopic. Yes.
Now we're just playing
name
that random rap.
You wouldn't watch a Hypnotized Minds
biopic?
I would be all over that. Who run it?
Goody Mob.
They had, well, they had a documentary. Did you watch the Organized Noise documentary? That was actually really good.
No, I'm going to have to watch it, though.
That was actually really good. It might still be on Netflix, or they might have taken it off. Big but Gip. It was... It, Big yeah, Gip. Big Gip was...
Big Gip could still get it.
Big Gip needs a fucking biopic. Gip got the yellow, got the purple, got the ring.
And that's all that you ever need to know about him. That sums it up right then and there.
Listen, his verse on that... on that track, I was like, he just won. He won. Grills. He absolutely won. He
I'm mad that's his won. Legacy.
He said, Gip got the yellow, got the purple, got the ring.
And the fact that he did, though.
And he did.
Yeah.
He said, Gip was the first with my mouth right.
Saint
right.
Lunatics. Yeah. Would you watch the Saint Lunatics?
So, this episode of... Absolutely not. I don't give a fuck about Nelly. I don't give a fuck know, about...
But it has the elements. I don't know if it has tragedy, though.
Did the dude with the mask die?
Did he die?
She should have. I'm like, I wish death on two people in this episode. I'm fucked up. I'm sorry. No.
We need to find him and roll up on him.
He's part of that. He's part of that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, where we just roll up on people.
Yeah, I need it. But we wouldn't even know. He'd be like, nah, that wasn't me. And then people would believe it.
Well, we just go up to Nelly and be like, what was his government name? You know where he is.
Nelly, here's $20. I know you need it.
All right, so fuck it. If we're going to do a Saint Lunatics, then we're going to do the Chingy story, too. Why not?
No. Nobody asked for that. Well, and he has none of the elements.
His life was, or his career was a tragedy. Would you watch a Tyrese biopic?
Oh, no. But
a
didn't...
Tank biopic? A Jaheim biopic?
Stop.
Music Soul Child biopic?
Absolutely fucking not.
An Erykah Badu biopic?
There's something, there would be some format that would be interesting for Erica, but I don't think a biopic would be it. Not yet.
But when she dies, though.
How about a Philly music scene? Like, Erykah Badu, Roots, Jill Scott.
Bacon and eggs! I'm sorry. Every time you say her name, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. Jill Scott and eggs!
She meant it.
She did.
Jilly from Philly.
I didn't doubt that she had two scrambled eggs.
Outcast. An Outcast biopic. No.
No, because Dre's never going to sign off on it. I'm not even going to wish for it.
I know. I think we've all given up.
Because, yeah, he's not going to sign off on it.
And until he needs... Is his money long? Cause, or does he not give a fuck? Because until he needs these checks, that's...
Well, I'm sure his money's long, but at the same time, I know what he's talking about in terms of preserving his legacy, in terms of the group, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You can get to a point where you're out here Jay-Z-ing it and still dropping verses that nobody asked for.
What was that shit where Jay-Z just dropped like two lines?
Oh, that was that Drake song. Yeah.
What the fuck was that? Every time I hear it, it like fucks with me because I'm like, he really got in and got out.
He got in and got out.
But I heard his verse was so trash that that's all they took.
I wouldn't doubt it. Again, he gets to a point where you're just, you're...
A Jay-Z biopic.
No.
No,
no,
I don't care. He was just there at the right moment.
No, because
I'm not trying to play him at all.
I would watch a Rockefeller.
But we already got State Property, though. And that's based on a true story.
That's pretty much the story. That is pretty much the story.
I don't know about State Property, too, but State Property.
State Property was the Rockefeller story. That's actually fairly accurate. He said, you going to get there or you going to lay there.
Classic.
All right, scene. All right. So we're going to do two more and then we got to wrap it up.
Okay. I know we've been in the studio for 18 hours.
Well, I mean, these biopics, bro. I mean, if we're going to talk about biopics that people need, then we're going to give it to them, right? And the fuck shit that goes along with it. So I'm going to hit you with these two people. You're probably going to say, can get it one more time. So we're going to get it for three because you took three shots. But who you want a biopic for? DMX or Nas?
That's a tough one. Nas can still get it.
Number three. See, I called it. Number three.
Do I have to take a shot? Please?
No. Oh. You take a shot for everybody that can get it. Okay. No, because I know you're rep. I know you're. Never mind. Go ahead. No. I just have you taking shots all day. I could just list them off.
Who?
Never mind.
No, tell me. I'm intrigued.
No. So Nas or DMX, and then I'll hit you with one more just to let you know that I know you.
Oh, okay. I feel like I'm good on Nas because of his documentary. That was dope.
Oh, the Life is Illmatic?
Yeah.
That's true. That was a good one.
And your boy, thank you for Jungle.
Jungle
thank
is the realest dude on the fucking planet. And he needs to be in everything. He needs to be in the Wu-Tang documentary. He needs to be in everything.
But do I want to spend 2 hours with DMX in his life? Because his life was a tragedy. And crack. Crack is like the leading lady.
Because you know there's going to have to be a scene with him smoking crack.
But then we're not getting the music rights. But does he have the music rights? Probably not.
DMX? But Russell Simmons does, and Russell Simmons will release it.
For them coins.
Because he needs them?
I would have to go with... I would have to go with DMX. Okay. I feel like DMX's story is one that needs to be told. In a actual film, though, with actors and whatnot, I'm not sure.
All right. Okay. So a DMX biopic. Mm-hmm. On BET.
No. On BET. You got to get the right people to do it. Make it a Netflix thing. Because Netflix, I feel like, has been coming with the fire.
Okay. A Netflix biopic on DMX. We'll end it like that. No, we'll end it with one more just to prove that I know you. Sean Paul from the Youngbloods.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. I was looking up his pictures the other day, and I was like, he could still get it.
And this is Speakerbox Seattle Podcast. If you want more episodes like this, Bang a Smurf, tell them where they can go.
Damn it, man. You can go to iTunes, Podomatic, or Stitcher.
I should make you take a shot for that, just because I was like, watch. But go ahead.
If you want a one-stop shot for all of that, plus some social media, go to our website, which is speakerbox.com. That's S-P-K-R-B-X.
What?
I was waiting for Mr. 808.
Boom. We're good.
SBKRBX.com.
It's so good. Boom.
And again, for your input, questions, life advice, comments, commentary, critiques, send us any. I'm drunk. Send us an email at speakerboxseattle@gmail.com. Again, that's speakerbox. Normal spelling, seattle@gmail.com.
And once again, thank you for everyone that's been listening. Of course, like, rate, share, embed, all that good stuff. Get it out there. Tell your friends, tell your mama, then tell your mama's friends about it. This is Frank Massachusetts.